How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
You are listening to Like-Minded Friends with Susie Ruffle and Tom Allen. I did it differently. Did you like it differently there? Slightly differently.
I'll just go, But it's all, it's nice to vary things out.
Well, I just feel like we always do the...
It's nice to break that out, isn't it? Yeah. I think Frasier might do it similarly. Have you ever had tossed salad and scrambled eggs?
No.
I don't know if anybody ever has.
No.
So we thought we'd entitle this one Strange Times.
Strange Times, because it is the 9th of November 2016.
Yes.
To anyone that's not listening on the day.
Yes, so we've just all woken up to the news in the UK that America's elected a new president, and it's somebody that I think a lot of people were quite surprised by.
Reality star Donald Trump.
TV's Donald Trump. And I actually woke up to a message from my friend in New York who sent it some time earlier going, I'm freaking out right now. So I think they must have just called it around about that time.
I'm so stunned.
Me too.
I didn't, but then again, I was stunned by Brexit.
Well, I feel less stunned because of that.
I've become less surprised what people do when they feel like they maybe don't have a voice or they feel like change needs to happen and I don't care if it's...
Yeah, it's considered as we might like.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that it's considered in terms that maybe aren't ours.
Yes, I mean, of course, yeah.
You know, but I was in America last week, so guys, I don't mind a clang.
Clang.
I was in New York, so I think it's slightly different to sort of experiencing the mainstay of America.
So how was it? What were the vibes like in New York?
There were so many great vibes, actually.
I'm really pleased that I asked that question.
Yeah, Evelyn Glennie was there on the vibes. And
I don't know what that means.
The vibes, like the vibraphone. Evelyn Glennie was the deaf, or still is, deaf percussionist.
Oh, I thought you were talking about vibrators.
Oh, no, Susie, I wouldn't drag us into the gutter.
Not this early.
No, we're all in the gutter, but some of us are gazing at Donald Trump. But it's a very Democrat state, New York.
Yes, of course.
I think. Maybe not upstate New York, but New York City feels quite...
Democratic.
In the same way that London is. They're obviously, it's not all.
A
bit more left, I would say, or a bit more behind Hillary. And I think they returned, or they voted blue. But... it was reading articles there about how, like one I read in the New Yorker, guys. I read the New Yorker.
Oh my God, you're someone that reads the New Yorker. How exciting.
I mean, that's the kind of guy I am.
I never realised.
Yeah, people don't realise that about me. And saying how the Democrats lost the working class vote, you know, potentially. And I think it's very interesting to sort of see that kind of narrative, you know, that in the same way I suppose people voted for Brexit because they weren't satisfied with the system.
Yep.
And they wanted, like you say, change, I guess.
But then what do we do... I guess those people are thinking, what other choice do we have? How else do we have our voices heard unless we do something drastic?
Yeah, because it's, I guess to a lot of people, for their narrative, whether it's a truth or not, but the narrative they felt or the narrative they seem to be experiencing, the status quo wasn't suiting them, I suppose. Yeah. I don't know.
No,
but it is extraordinary, like we were just talking about how a lot of women apparently voted for Donald Trump, and you kind of go considering...
I mean, that's astonishing to me. I find it so astonishing. And like, you know, the whole thing of like, you know, the infamous pussy grab video. And so many women just being like, you know, boys will be boys. And you go, it's that sort of thing that allows people, that allows, you know, women and men to do terrible things. Because, you know, you just go, oh, well, that's what people do sometimes. You go, well, no, people need to sort of stand up and be counted for what they have done and who they are. And
Well, I think as well, it's amazing how that's a lot of the negative rhetoric he was saying about immigration and about the sort of isolationism for America. It's a lot more exhausting to be like that.
To be reactionary,
you know, to be.
Trump loves hate.
Fear and hate. Yeah. It's not a nice life, but yet a lot of people subscribe to it, I guess, because there's a comfort to it somehow.
But I mean, I feel like people do that. I mean, taking this to the minutiae, obviously, but I feel like...
Of course, well, what else can we do?
People do that, like, people try and find the misery in so many things. You know, people on Facebook will very, you know, will love to tell you that they're having a terrible time on holiday, or the weather's bad.
Oh, yes.
Or that they've, you know, had broken a thumb or something. And, like, you know, the woe is me story. People
love that. Yeah, they do. And we love to read them.
and people love to hate. And I think that's it's such a great way of not looking at what's wrong.
Yes.
You know, every time that I've, I don't know, been difficult in, you know, a relationship or in a friendship or whatever, I, you know, so often you can go, guys, I think this might be me, you know, but it's so easy to blame something else.
Yes.
To blame someone else, to go, I don't want to take responsibility.
Yes. I guess that's what it is, isn't it? A lot of the time. But I think as well, like we were saying about, early on the way here, about the outrage online. Like I knew as soon as I got that message from my friend, I was like, oh, I guess it's gone that way then.
Facebook's gone nuts, yeah.
And then, of course, I looked at Twitter and I looked at Facebook. I mean, also because I wanted to see what people had said about my appearance on Live at the Apollo last night.
Oh, guys.
Guys.
Guys, 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 guys. Let me briefly tell you, my darling like-minded friend last night absolutely smashed his first appearance on Live at the Apollo. Well, and for any listeners that are not from the UK, that is a very big deal and something that all comedians want to do.
Well,
and he
had
an absolute blast.
And of course, I didn't manage to. It was actually that televised appearance was what made people vote for Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But the...
What, he's anti-gay? He's gay? Yeah, I'll go Trump.
I'm anti. If that's what that is, if that's what gay is, I'm anti.
Yeah, I'm out of it.
But the... what was I going to say? The sort of outrage on social media, sometimes I'm a bit like, actually... Is this actually productive? Is this actually... Does it all just drag us all into this panic and hysteria? Just
but I think people
on?
Love the panic and hysteria.
That's what I mean. Yes, is that... And is that...
But why is that?
Yeah, in a way, it feels a bit like it's as reactionary as that. But I suppose, of course, you feel... It's a very shocking thing. I think when Brexit happened as well, people were very shocked by it, so they needed to express that. But sometimes, like, reading it, it's just like,
We're
all doomed sort of thing. It's not... I don't know if that's helpful or not.
But then what do we do now?
Good question, because I think a lot of people will be like, I don't want to go into this miserable place. I want to be hopeful. Yes, we can, sort of thing.
Yes, we can. Obama.
Yes, we could.
We'd really like to.
Yeah.
See, I found that with sort of Brexit, sort of quite a lot of feelings of like, oh, God, I hate that our country's now been somehow forced into this sort of... I don't want to say racist, because I think a lot of people that voted for us to leave the EU aren't racist people. They're just people that are scared. But I think what's really important is that we try and find a positive story within that, whether it's, you know, trying to reach out to people more, whether they're your friends or whether they're your neighbours or...
Yeah.
I don't know what else we can do as just citizens in the world or citizens in a country, rather than be like, this thing has happened.
Yeah.
Now... We have to deal with that.
Yeah.
But let's be friends. Let's try and help people.
I think that's true. And I think, actually it brings out kindness in people because it's necessary in a way. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's needed to be suddenly compassionate and a bit more understanding. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's a naive thing to say. But
I feel like I feel very similarly. But maybe we're both naive.
Maybe we're both likely, naive. I can't imagine that. But I think... but I do think, like, there are a lot of people who love to go online and be like, we're all fucked.
Of course.
That's not actually helping, because I think, like you say, a lot of people are voting for parties that we go, oh, but why? Why would people vote for that when it's such negative things? Like, because no one else seems to be listening to them.
Of course. And like, we live in such a liberal bubble.
A liberal bubble.
A liberal bubble.
Yes, Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé. But it's that thing of, like, you know... It's when, you know, it's throwing your toys at the pram. It's doing something, because it feels like... I also think as well, politically, I feel like so often we don't actually know what's going on.
Yes, it's very easy to base everything on just clips and sound bites.
And so it feels like, you know, what has the government done for me?
Yeah, we can all do that, can't we?
But, you know, for us, I'm like, well, you're alive. We have the NHS. We have housing benefits. Yeah. You'd miss that if it was gone.
Yeah.
If we didn't have healthcare.
Yeah.
You'd know
about
it. It's
looking at the wider picture, isn't it? Yeah. Rather than just look. I mean, but that's the thing, isn't it? When people go on online, if you have a lot of liberal, like-minded friends,
yeah.
Then of course they will all be outraged, and you'll be like, well, who's voting for the people we don't sympathise with?
But loads and loads of people who are not bad people.
Exactly. Are doing, and I think by kind of cutting ourselves off and going, it's almost as reactionary in its in itself. But I don't know, maybe that's a bit of a naive thing to say. But
I think it's so concerning and so worrying, and I don't think that he was the right person for the job. And I don't think that he's a nice guy. I think that he's a horrible guy, but I think it is the decision that America has made.
Yeah, or, you know, that percentage has, yeah. And it's very interesting because it looks like it's kind of similar. It's not, it's quite split, or it was this morning when I looked at the news. Maybe it's gone a bit more towards him, but...
But yeah, people don't know what to do. I mean, Theresa May, our Prime Minister...
Our President,
she was like, I'll work with whoever gets the job.
Which, of course, you have to be, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, you have to be... That's why, you know, people around the world, they were like, well, how's the world reacted? Well, of course the world reacts by going, we welcome the new president and da-da-da. Because what alternative does anybody have? And I think, I mean, who knows? Some people say it won't change much because there'll be people going, that's mad, you can't do that. But I don't know.
It is scary. Mm. I sort of thought to myself this morning, I wonder how I would feel if I was waking up this morning as sort of, you know, a young gay person in America, or a young person of colour in America, or someone of a different faith, or a Muslim, if you were to sort of go...
Yeah, that must be very unnerving.
There has been a decision made whilst I've been asleep that has sort of told me that I'm not as valid as I thought I was.
And that must be horrific, mustn't it? That is exactly it.
Absolutely.
And I suppose, what is the counter to that? And I suppose it's very easy to get wound up about that and very emotional about that, because, of course, it's so emotive, isn't it? It's such a horrible thought.
Yeah.
But my issue sometimes with people being very outspoken on social media actually doesn't achieve anything. You go, we're all fucked, we're all doomed. Actually, I think the actions, like you say, are about being, if it means we have to be kinder to each other, then let's do that. You know, positive action rather than...
Yeah. Because what does shouting do?
Yeah, Whereas actually,
you're
I think you're just the loudest person. And I think, I don't know, you sort of hope that... On some level, human kindness will prevail. But who knows? It must be a horrible, horrible thing.
But we are all fucked, guys. We're all fucked.
We're all fucked. No, I know a lot of people will be like, oh, you know. Well, Meg in Maryland, for example, tweeted at us this morning. She said, I need a podcast today to cheer me up. So I don't know if we've actually done that.
Okay, well, that's enough on the doom and gloom. That's just us saying.
Well, yeah.
Like Jerry Springer did at the end of his shows, you know, when he'd be like, guys, just be kind to each other.
Well, you see, since he's gone off the television, I think people have become a bit less kind.
Do you think if Jerry Springer was on TV...
If he was president...
Here we go.
I mean,
some great people to be president. Go.
Well, Jerry Seinfeld.
Immediately.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, great. Yeah, love her.
Chris Rock.
Okay, you're just saying people that you saw Chris Rock in New York last week and he's just in your brain.
Yeah. I'm just saying comedians I like.
Okay.
Who would you say? Tilda Swinton.
Me.
Just you.
Just me. Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey, good choice. He's already got the outfit.
That's the thing.
Yeah, it's
someone
very easy.
Acted as
president is surely very well prepared for it.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, good choice.
Because of Veep, which I love.
Mm, very good.
Now, Tom.
Mm. Ina Garten, I'd say as well.
Who's that?
The barefoot contestant who I'm obsessed with.
Oh, the chef.
Maybe Pioneer Woman, but I don't know quite what side she lies on. She's from Ohio, I think, and I don't know if that's a bit red.
I think it might be a bit red.
I wonder, I don't know where Pioneer
Is she
Woman.
Barefoot when she's cooking?
Oh, Ina Garten is, I think, a Democrat because she used to work for Bill Clinton. She is not ever barefoot. Why I call her the bareback contestant.
Which sounds rude.
It does. That's why I say it.
Why is she the barefoot contessa?
I think because she likes to walk barefoot through her garden. I don't know. She sort of pads around, picks a few herbs. I mean, it's nonsense, actually, now you say that. Maybe she doesn't wear any shoes normally.
Is it Sandy Shaw?
If only.
If only Sandy Shaw had a cooking show.
If only Sandy Shaw was president of the United States.
Right. Now,
Am
Tom,
I right?
To bring... To take our podcast into lighter territory,
mm-hmm.
maybe what our listeners are looking for today, rather than just us two being two other people that are lamenting.
Two other people like, yeah. Oh, my God.
Tom, tell us what happened to you on the streets of New York.
So, I was in New York last week, guys.
Guys, imagine New York. The hustle, the bustle.
The hustle, the bustle. The vibe.
The vibe. People, the energy. There's a yellow taxi going past. You can see Carrie Bradshaw.
Carrie Bradshaw's there. Joni Mitchell's singing about it. Everything's happening. And so I was walking down 8th Avenue.
Oh, clang.
Clang. On my way to see Kinky Boots, actually, which is a strange place to go and see it in America because they were doing the English accents.
Oh, how was it a bit?
Mostly fine. Occasionally it was a bit weird.
A bit.
They could have called it Kinky Boats. It was
Kinky Boats.
It was. There were some very odd choices of accents, but it's difficult. It's difficult.
Sure.
Great show.
Great show.
Great show.
Great costumes.
Great costumes.
Great dancing.
Yeah, when Lola comes out, it's great. I do recommend it as a show.
I was once walking past Kinky Boots and I overheard a person looking at the pictures and someone went, that woman looks like a bloke. Brilliant.
Well, I mean, it's a great show. And on our way there.
Still on 8th Avenue. The hustle. The bustle.
On 8th Avenue, feeling, you know, New York is the sort of place where you feel like you can talk to people. You can just be exuberant. Like, I go into shops. I'm like, hi, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? Like, people have conversations.
And you're being British. Terribly
I feel
British.
Like I'm being British, but at the same time, they seem quite open to that.
Of course.
Everything's very exciting. So I'm walking along. Coming towards us is this woman, quite a tall woman. She has this amazing coat on.
Okay.
And so as we get closer to her, I turn to her and go, great coat. And then just carry on walking. My friend then turns to me and says, Tom, you do know that was Anna Wintour.
Anna Wintour, guys. It was Anna Wintour.
Anna Wintour, legendary editor of Vogue.
The most powerful woman in fashion in the world.
This jumped up little
poof.
Prick, little poof, great coat, like an absolute idiot. Goes up, Anna Wintour. I got up and told her. But then my friend John said the other day, you know what, probably nobody ever tells her she looks nice because they're all too scared of her.
That's very true.
She did sort of glide along. She didn't really acknowledge it. I felt like...
Was she on roller skates?
She was on roller skates as well. I should have maybe mentioned that.
That's a new thing. She's on Heelys.
Can you imagine if Anna Wintour was pushing Heelys?
Just imagine if that's how she got about.
I mean, imagine if she had a hoverboard.
Oh. She'd be the first.
Everybody would have one.
I genuinely thought hoverboards would be a thing by this time.
Do you know what? As well, skateboard. Like, I was at Old Street Station a few weeks
ago. That's
where I live. Near, must be going to see you. And there was a man trying to get like some sort of massive amount of baggage through the barriers, and he was screaming at the staff there because they weren't providing any help or even like opening the barriers so he could get everything through. I mean, they could have done more to help, but then I saw he had a skateboard with him, and I thought, you know what? No, I haven't got any sympathy for you. You're a fully grown man. You're playing with toys.
I've got a skateboard.
Exactly. Have you really?
Yeah, it's like a longboard. I don't use it that frequently, just in the summer. It's quite good fun.
What does it get you along?
Yeah, I go really fast on it. I've also got a bike, Tom. Is a bike...
Yeah, bike is fine.
But you bought a top hat in Edinburgh because you thought it was fun.
Yes, that's true. That's true, but it's different. The thing you have to remember, it's always different when it's me.
I do always forget that.
Always different when it's me, I think.
You do.
So Anna Wintour was there.
Yeah. Now, how is that story going to grow in your head? Have you had dinner with Anna Wintour now? Is that the story?
So I arrived at Anna Wintour's house.
Right.
I woke her up.
Met me from the airport. Holding a little sign.
I think she seems all right, actually. I like her.
I like her too.
She was taller than I thought she would be.
Maybe that would be the Heelys.
That would be the Heelys. So once you clip those back in, she goes back down. But she also didn't have the sunglasses on. I think that's why I didn't recognise her at first.
What are her eyes like?
You wouldn't look in them. She could turn you to stone.
Just one eye, like a cyclops.
Yes, that's what people didn't realise.
Like Layla in Futurama.
Yes, beautiful.
Beautiful, but
unusual. So she, I saw her, which was very exciting. Then went to the Comedy Cellar.
Oh, yeah.
Saw a couple of comics I knew.
Yep, sure.
They were getting ready to introduce my friend Michelle Wolf, or at least I thought they were, who was on. And they were saying somebody who you might know is quite famous, and Michelle is on the Today Show. So I thought...
Oh, that's exciting.
That's exciting. Nice.
They really built her up.
They really built her up. And they were like, don't take photographs, don't make a fuss, don't make it weird. People, the Comedy Cellar, people come down here because they know it's a good gig, good show to try out stuff. And we're like, yeah, sure, that's nice for Michelle. And then the compa said, so ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Chris Rock!
Everyone went nuts.
Chris Rock. Everybody went nuts.
How exciting.
I lost my mind.
He's brilliant.
He was so brilliant. And I was like breathless with, I was like screaming when he walked out. He walked right by me.
So exciting.
And he had an orange hat on stage. The next day, I'm walking through the village. I see an orange hat. I had to buy it. So now I've got one. I'm
just like an orange beanie.
Like an orange beanie, exactly that.
What a look. What a bold look for Tom Allen.
It's a really bold look for me, but I'm really enjoying it.
Good for you.
I feel like I'm just Chris Rock. Yeah.
He is so funny.
Sometimes I recite some of his material. Does not go down well.
Yeah, I can imagine you need to be really picky about what
stuff
what
bits
you do.
I choose to do. Yeah. I think it's actually not.
I think you should not do that.
Joke Thieves has not gone well for me.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I can imagine that. See, it's exciting, isn't it? Because like you would think that, you know, we are quite lucky in comedy in that we sort of sometimes see famous people or we know some people that are quite well known because we work with them.
Yeah.
But I had a very similar thing when I was, again, in New York.
Clang.
At Hannibal Buress's night.
Oh.
And they introduced Louis C.K.
Louis Calvin Klein.
Right.
Came, and was that, did everyone start screaming?
Yeah, most people did. Like, it was, people just couldn't believe it's happening sort of thing, you know, it's just.
Yeah.
He's just.
Such a big star.
Yeah, very exciting.
He's huge, isn't he? And when you think, like, actually Louis C.K. is probably more recent in a way, like you said, a more recent kind of.
Oh, God, yeah, massively so. I mean, he was on the circuit for like 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Just doing the gigs.
Chris Rock, I don't know what his ascendancy was, actually. I don't know when he.
Oh, I would say like mid-2000s, like maybe 2000, no, maybe 2002.
Yeah.
2003, that sort of time.
Right.
I saw him at Hammersmith Apollo once.
Oh, did you go to the Apollo show? Oh, I wish I'd gone to that.
It was.
He's 50, you know.
Before I did stand up. Yeah. Yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah.
He,
very handsome man.
Yeah, he is.
I have to say, very handsome. Even with that hat on, you could see how handsome he was.
Is that why you got the hat?
Yeah, because I wanted to be just like him.
Yeah, he's a great comic. He's a great comic.
Great comic. Really great, like, thought out thoughts, you know?
I would love to hear his stuff on Trump.
Yeah, really interesting. But he was kind of like, he was like, you don't need to sensationalise him. He's saying about people sensationalising. He's like, you don't need to sensationalise him. He's clearly an outrageous person. Because I think people were like, oh my God, can you believe he said this? And it's like, you don't need to shout about it. I mean, it's surely ridiculous. I mean, now, looking back, of course, that doesn't doesn't look so true.
Yeah.
Chris, what were you thinking? But yeah, yeah. But it was a wonderful time. I had a wonderful time there.
And what do you have any other holidays booked?
Going Centre Parks.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Not to Centre Parks, just going Centre Parks.
I'm just going Centre Parks, which is a great place to go around on a skateboard.
Well, you can take mine if you're very good.
Oh, I'd like that. I think I'd fall off it. I have to get elbow pads.
You can wear your top hat, though, because you've not worn that yet, have you? Oh, here comes Tom on a skateboard wearing a top hat. It seems he's finally lost it.
There's a Monopoly board gliding towards us.
Very good, yeah.
If I have my boots on. Have you got any holidays coming up, Susie?
Not at the moment, no.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Maybe you should book something.
I think I might.
What do you fancy, a bit of sunshine or what?
Oh, yeah, I love a bit of sunshine.
Or maybe actually New York would do you some good.
I would love to go to New York.
So I think, like, New York's not going to change.
No, it's not.
A lot of Trump Towers you see everywhere. But apparently he doesn't own those. So he didn't build those. So he leases out his name to them.
Yeah, I think that's right. Bizarre.
Sorry, we've stopped talking about him.
We're trying
to distract people from the news today. We just keep going back to it. But it's there. You know,
it's good to reference it.
It's good to reference it. You can't control. That's the thing, I think, with a lot of these things. You can't control it, so you just kind of feel so frustrated.
But then just reference it and move on.
Reference it and move on. But maybe a little trip to New York would do you some good.
Maybe it would.
Go and do.
Hey, any New York friends listening to the podcast? Have a suggestion on where a little chickadee like me could stay?
Could she's
someone
very
take me
nice.
Out gay clubbing?
Oh yeah, it's interesting to know where the gays go in New York these days, because there's sort of, I think it's a bit like London. A lot of the clubs have sort of closed down. There used to be a place called Splash, I think, which had like guys on. They'd have like showers, like where go-go.
Would it
dogs
be like a boys' club?
Maybe it was more boys, yeah. I think it was more like, what was his name? Charlotte's friend in Sex and the City.
Anthony.
Yeah, a bit like that.
Right.
But there's also The Cock. That's very much a boys' club, actually.
Yeah, what makes you say that?
I don't know. But
yeah, see, that's the thing with clubs in London, like gay clubs, is that it's become, a lot of the sort of mainstream gay clubs have become places where, like, hen parties go.
Yeah, that's the
which,
problem.
As you know, is my pet hate.
Yeah, I don't. Do you know what? I'm going to say this.
Go on.
I don't like hen parties.
Say
I don't like stag parties, actually. Don't like So it's not, it's just, I don't like this whole culture of, look at me, it's really important that I have the best time. And like getting dressed up so you like, you make yourself the center of attention. Just think it's disgusting. It's bad behavior. It has to stop.
You heard it here first.
What do you think about that though? Is that too harsh of me?
I think it's a little harsh. Mm-hmm. I think that some girls like just having a bit of a piss up and it's very exciting. You know, if you've thought about getting married, you know, for a lot of your life and it's something you've always wanted to do, it's sort of a big celebration.
I just think a lot of the time it's undignified.
Well,
and I think we put up, we go, oh, it's a stag, or it's a hen, oh,
yeah,
it's full of hens.
True.
And it's like bad behaviour, not acceptable.
I agree with that. But then I've also been sick into a gutter in Tenerife on a hen do, so I can't really.
Okay, well.
I can't really comment too much.
I've never been sick into a gutter. If anything.
Some of us are thrown up into the gutter. We're all in the gutter and some of us are throwing up.
Some of us happen to be throwing up. In Tenerife, you see, I wouldn't like to be hungover in the sunshine.
Oh, it was fine.
Was it?
Really quickly.
Go in the sea, cools you down.
Had a half a lager at midday.
Oh, sorts you out, doesn't it?
Sorts you right out, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that. Or a white wine, some people say.
A white wine.
A white wine. I had a very nice time in Norwich the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry you had to leave early.
I did have to leave early. We were doing a charity gig for a very
dear friend. Not a like-minded friend.
Not a like-minded friend, just a dear friend.
Just a dear friend. Lovely gig in Norwich at the Playhouse and went to this place afterwards called Gonzo's. Oh, my God. It was open so late. I had such a fun time.
Did you get smashed?
Yes.
How drunk?
7.5.
Okay.
Out of 10. Not
you
like
didn't,
on
you
the,
didn't have your own breathalyzer.
I didn't have
you?
My breathalyzer. I think I'd be dead at 7.5.
You did.
It's a bit like Twin Peaks in there. Lots of cladding.
Oh. Very nice. Now, Tom, we're approaching the end of our time together. Of course, if you want to watch Tom's Live at the Apollo, it will still be on iPlayer.
iPlayer.
I suggest you do that because it's brilliant.
Yes.
And also, Tom, remind us when your Soho Theatre run is.
So we are running from 28th of November to 3rd of December. And it's 6 nights at the Soho Theatre in London. And I'm very, very thrilled, but quite anxious about playing it, especially because it's the main room there. So I am very flattered they've offered it, indeed given it to me. But
it's very exciting. It's going to sell very well, and you're going to have 6 wonderful shows.
Well, if you're around, it would be lovely to have you there. And you can get details on sohotheatre.co.uk or my homepage, as we used to say, homepage, tomindeed.com/shows.
Very nice indeed.
And Susie, you have just announced your run at Soho Theatre.
I have indeed. I'm very excited. It's the first time I'm doing my show at the Soho Theatre. I'm over the moon about it. I will be there in January. I'll be there on the 29th, 30th, and then the 1st of February.
Brilliant.
So the end of January. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Brilliant.
Please come along. There's tickets available at sohotheatre.co.uk or the link is actually not yet on my website, but I need to do that immediately. But yeah, it's all on my Twitter and stuff. And then, of course, Tom and I are still on tour and dates are being
still
added for next year.
On tour, insisting on going on tour. We're having a lovely time and we're very much looking forward to going to Brighton on Saturday.
Yes, it's sold out.
Sold out, so don't come. But, I mean, come if you've got tickets.
Yeah,
otherwise,
of course.
That's sort of annoying. But we're very excited about that. And what's our next one the week after?
We've got Nottingham. There's still some tickets left
Nottingham,
for that.
Nottingham, yeah.
I think Birmingham sold out, but maybe double check the website in case any holds have been released.
Got Manchester coming up. That's sold out.
Almost sold out,
almost
I think.
Out.
Yeah.
Wrexham. We're really looking forward to going there.
Bridport,
yes.
There's quite a lot of tickets left in Bridport, I think, Tom.
Susie, people need to think we're huge.
We're massive
in Bridport.
Stars. We're huge in Bridport.
It'll be lovely. It'll be lovely. So do come along. Details again, susieruffle.co.uk.
Or tomindeed.com.
Perfect.
Can I just briefly do one other thing, if possible? I am currently working on quite an exciting project for a pilot that I'm doing for a TV company.
Yes.
And I'm looking for people that maybe have reached out to me in the past or people that have sort of found some sort of similarity between themselves and me with relation to being gay or trying to find someone in the media that's gay that's like them, maybe a gay woman or a gay guy, you know. And so I'm quite interested in talking to people about maybe their coming out stories or how it's been for them being a gay person in the world. And I would love to talk to anyone that feels like they have a story or feel like they'd be open to chatting to me. If you wanted to get in touch, please get in touch on the Like-Minded Friends email address, which is chat to likemindedfriends@gmail.com. Yeah, just reach out and get in touch. Maybe you've got an interesting coming out story, or being out at work, or maybe it's positive, maybe it's negative. But I just think I'm really excited about the potentially making something that isn't out there at the moment, and that feels, you know, we'll be covering some things that are sadder and some things that are more positive, but to sort of let people know that there's a journey after coming out. And so I'd be really interested to chat to anyone that would like to share those stories with me.
Very exciting. Do get in touch. And just have a good week.
Have a great week.
Don't, you know, keep being yourself.
Keep being yourself.
Keep being what is that Gandhi quote? I mean, it would have more impact if I'd remembered it.
Yeah.
Be the change you want to see in the world.
Be the change you want to see in the world. And also, maybe treat yourself to a nice jumper.
Oh, yes. You know, when I was in New York, I bought myself a new sweater from Uniqlo.
I mean, I keep hearing about all the things you bought, but did I get a little tiny apple on a key ring? You know, did I get...
Oh, did you
I
want that?
Anything? No,
oh, I should have done that.
Didn't get a snow globe with the Empire State Building in it?
I should have done that. But Uniqlo, bought myself two jumpers. Grey one. I think I bought it that was size too small, didn't I? What an
idiot. That's great. That'll fit me.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. I said, oh, well...
My gift from New York.
But I bought a sort of burgundy red one.
Very
it's cashmere,
color.
As they
cashmere.
Say there. Cashmere, not cashmere. Cashmere. Weirder. And I bought a new pea coat. Really happy with that.
Well, Tom, I mean...
Yeah, so keep your eye out for that. Also, a new pocket square, sort of floral.
I mean, Tom's really got a lot going on.
If you're worried about the world, buy yourself a pocket square and be nice to each... If you, you know... But what was the Jerry Springer? Oh, we forgot.
Be good to each other or something. Some shit.
Be nice to each other. Be kind to each other. Be nice to each other.
Look, guys, don't be dicks. Have
a great
week.
Don't be a fucking dick. Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day, and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook, and audio.